We're in a series these days on a series entitled The Values of a Healthy Family. We're wanting our family to grow. We're wanting our family to be strong. And there's some values that we need to build into all of our lives in our family to make that happen. And we're working through some of those in this series. With every one of these values, we're tying them directly to the Word of God. What God tells us, because He is the guide, He shows us the way. And this morning, I want us to look at the next value, the value of telling the truth, the value of living in honesty in our life. There was a survey that came out a few years ago about this whole issue about telling the truth, and I thought it was kind of interesting. On the one hand, in that survey, most of those in the survey said that they want other people to be totally honest with them. They want people to tell them the truth. In fact, they would be incensed if someone lied to them. They are outraged when someone is dishonest with them. But what was interesting is that in the very same survey, they said two-thirds of those who were surveyed said they didn't think it was all that bad when they told a lie to somebody else. Double standard, right? How many of you have ever lied? Don't raise your hand. That's okay. You didn't want to lie by not raising your hand, right? All of us have had times in our lives in which we've lied. And I've thought back to when was the first time I remember lying? I probably lied before this, but the first time I remembered lying was when I was, 5 years old. 4 or 5 years old, something along that line. Back in that time, America was a very different country. Some of you that are younger would not recognize that America. It was so very different. In that America, when I was growing up, you could just send the kids out to play and maybe they'd go blocks away. You never worried about them, never wondered where they were. Nobody would kidnap those children. Nobody would do them harm. Nobody would do anything with these kids. They were perfectly safe. Just go out and play. We'll see you in a few hours. That was the America that I grew up in. What changed that America was in the 1960s. We talked about it, the sexual revolution that was supposed to free us, and we see where it got us now 50 years later. And all of the turmoil and the losers in that has generation after generation been the kids. But when I was about 4 or 5 years old, we lived close to a city park. Man, when you've got a city park in your backyard, you have it made as a kid. And that's the situation that I was in. And so I was going out to play. Now, I had a sister that was a couple years older than me, and another sister that's 3 years older than me, and we'd go out and play. My mother told me, now, Mark, when you go out and play, don't you get in the wading pool at the park. There was a little wading pool about a foot deep. You couldn't drown in that wading pool no matter what you did. And so I'd go out to the wading pool, but you cannot go to the wading pool. But what she didn't know is I already had my bathing suit under my shorts. I was already ready. I thought to myself, even at 5 years old, not a problem. I'll go. I'll get in the wading pool. They'll never know. So went to the park. I got in the wading pool, had the best time. When it was time to come home, I had no trouble. I just put my shorts over my bathing suit, and home I went. Walked in the living room, and the first words I heard was, Mark Stephen. Now, when I would hear the name Stephen, I knew there was problem in River City. Mark Stephen, my mother said, have you been to the wading pool? Oh, absolutely not. My shorts totally soaked. Did you know that was the first time I remember lying, but it wasn't the last? Nobody had to teach me to lie. Lying just comes naturally because all of us have that sin nature. All of us have that sin nature that God is trying to save us from. And all of us are tempted to lie. That's why probably if I ask seriously, for everyone who has never lied to raise their hand, anybody that would raise their hand just lied, right? So we've all done this, but the question is, well, what's the big deal? In fact, if you think about the survey that I mentioned a few moments ago, what problem is it if we tell a little white lie? That's the first question that I want to ask and answer as we get started this morning. What is the big deal about a little white lie? The truth is, there are advantages to lying. Sure, you could get a little bit more money than you deserved if you lied. You could get a little bit better grades in school than you know you earned if you lied. You could have a little bit more influence, at least for a while, in the life of a few people that you influence if you lied. You could get off the hot seat. You could create a little bit more time between you and trouble if you just lied. There are advantages to lying. If there weren't any advantages, nobody would be doing it. But there are advantages. The problem with the advantages of lying is they only last a little while. Take, for instance, Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson was in the 1988 Olympics, and he won the gold medal in the 100-meter race. He beat out Carl Lewis from the United States. He beat him out a tenth of a second. That means probably his nose had just gotten over the finish line before Carl Lewis arrived. It was that short, a tenth of a second. And he became acknowledged immediately as the fastest man on the face of the earth for 6 days. Because on the sixth day, he was found out, it was discovered, he had taken steroids, he had won that race by cheating, he had won by lying. And they stripped him of his gold medal, they stripped him of his reputation, they stripped him, actually, over the next 50 years, of some livelihood of his career. All of that for just 6 days of having a gold medal. This is the problem with lying. Lying does benefit, but only for a short while. But the ramifications of it, the liabilities of it, are long range. That's the real problem. So the question is, what are the problems that are coming in your life because of lying? There are benefits we know, but they're short-lived. There are liabilities that come for a long time. So, what are the problems to lying? Well, the first problem is simply this, which all of us would acknowledge. We destroy, or at least damage, our character. Reputation and character are really two different things. Reputation is what you think of me, and I think of you, and we think of each other is reputation. Character is who I really am, who you really are. Oftentimes, we think of someone differently than they really are, because maybe there was a day in which they were what we think of them, and maybe they've been sliding from those days. There is a reputation that is earned, but maybe there is a slippage that is happening. The character may be very different. When the reputation and character come together in a positive way, it's called integrity. You have integrity when your reputation and your character line up for good. When you don't, you lose character, and eventually you lose reputation, and you lose the respect of other people. When your life lines up in good of reputation and character, it is an amazing blessing that comes to others in your life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, good people who live honest lives, here's honesty he's dealing with, good people who live honest lives will be a blessing to their children. Here's the idea. When parents have integrity, when they have reputation and character to match, their children watch their lives, and their children will follow suit. Kids, naturally, as they grow up in a person's home, love and admire, respect, and want to mimic their parents. That happens until maybe they're teenagers. And when you get into teenage years, something begins to change. They begin to realize their parents are real-life people. They're not superheroes. They're real life people, and they have weaknesses and problems. It doesn't happen with every teenager, but some teenagers stop desiring to mimic their parents. Very much like Mark Twain described when Mark Twain said, "When I became 15, I realized my parents knew absolutely nothing. But when I turned 21, I was stunned at how smart they had become in just a little bit of time." The truth is, what happens sometimes is, especially as our kids are younger and they're growing up in our home, and they watch their parents, and their parents are people of integrity, the children will try to mimic their parents and brings blessing to them. Maybe you're not in a situation which you have children. That's not where you are in your life right now, but think of people that respect you. The truth is, you and I have influence over other people in our life, no matter who we are. Even small children have influence over others. And all of us, even if we don't know who they are, all of us have influence over the lives of other people. And when you are a person of integrity, when you have character and reputation that matches, you actually become a blessing to them because they're learning from you. They're watching you, and they're actually mimicking you even when you don't know it. Our children need parents of integrity. Even at times in which we don't know, they're watching what we say and do. They're watching us in situations in which they already know the answer. And when they see us be a person of honesty, they want to be just like us. One of the downsides of giving in to the temptation of lying is that we lose a bit of our character and the respect of those who are watching us. The second thing is that when we lie, we actually lose spiritual maturity. If you can gain spiritual maturity, you can also lose it. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, "We will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ." He connects this whole transference that happens in our life, becoming like Jesus, connected to truth. We hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of the body. God has one great goal in your life, one great goal in my life. He wants to change us from the inside out to be like Jesus Christ. This church has grabbed hold of that idea. That's where we got the purpose statement. Our purpose is to love and lead all people to life change. God is after life change. He's trying to change who we are to become like who Jesus is, to emulate the character and the nature of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestine that we would be conformed into the image of his dear Son, Jesus Christ," so that Jesus would be the first of many brethren, so that we would become like him. God has this great goal and purpose for your life, but that goal is thwarted, at least for a while, when we give ground to the temptation of lying. We take away from the maturity and spiritual growth that God is wanting to build in our life. The third reason is this, or our result is this: when we lie, we lose the trust of others. Telling the truth provides security in our relationships. So guys, I want you to hear me. Those of you who are married and those of you who one day will be married, one of the great needs of your wife is a sense of security. It is one of the highest needs of a wife, security. When your wife sees you telling the truth, even at times in which you could get in major trouble by telling the truth, it builds security in her heart. It builds confidence in her heart. One of the great ways in which you, great gifts you can give to your wife is to tell the truth, because when you tell the truth, you are saying to your wife, "You're secure with me. You can trust me." There are times in which we're in situations with other people and your wife already knows what the truth is, and she listens to hear, "Will you tell the truth in this moment? Can you be trusted in this moment to tell the truth?" Because you see, if you can't in this moment, I already know now how to translate you later. But when I see you tell the truth in a time in which you already know you're going to get some heat over this, but you still tell the truth, you have that level of integrity, I believe maybe you are doing that with me as well. One of the great needs that a woman has is security. And one of the ways in which we build layers of security is by being honest, even at times in which it doesn't benefit us to do that. But there is a benefit that does come to us. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 6 says, doing right brings freedom to who? Honest people. There is a freedom that happens. In what way? Well, again, I'm going to quote the great theologian Mark Twain. He said this, it's easier to tell the truth. That way you don't have to keep remembering what you said. Just tell the truth. You don't have to remember what way, what version of the lie that you told to who you told it. Just tell the truth. There is a freedom that comes when we tell the truth. There's a liberty that we begin to enjoy when we just simply tell the truth. So in our lives, we give up character. We give up progress of becoming like Christ. And we give up trust, which is the backbone of any relationship, when we give ground to the lie. Maybe if you're struggling with this, you ought to ask yourself these questions. How can the members of my family ever trust me if I'm not willing to be honest with them and myself? How can I ever have a real relationship with another person unless we're willing to live in honesty with each other? How can my life ever truly please God unless I am willing to pay the price to live in honesty? Can I tell you that if the answer is that you won't, if the answer is that you are going to keep trying to lie your way through, you're going to be one of the loneliest people anywhere around. Because the day comes in which the trust ends and you're going to be all alone. You won't have anybody trust you. You've got to rebuild trust in your life if that's been a problem in your life. You've got to rebuild it. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17, I know, my God, that you test the heart and you are pleased with integrity. God, I know this is the way you want me to live. But what if that's not the way you're living? What then? These are the problems of lying. But now, what are the benefits of telling the truth? That's the next thing. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 21 puts it this way. Trouble chases sinners while blessings chase the righteous. That was a whole new way of thinking when I read the verse. What does it mean? Blessings chase the righteous. Have you ever thought of this? That when I tell the truth, when I try to be the right kind of person and I make the right decisions, the blessings of God chase after me. The favor of God runs for me and catches me, and he pours out his blessings on my life. God can't even resist. He sets his heart on you when you tell the truth. Don't you want to be in that kind of a position? There is a sense of the blessings of God coming out, pouring out upon my life, simply because I choose, even though I have initial problems because I told the truth and I get in trouble. The blessings of God chase me down. The favor of God pour out on me because I had the courage to tell the truth. When we're honest, God uses our integrity to actually protect our life. Look at what he says in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7. God is their shield, protecting those who walk with integrity. It's about the same subject. And he says that when we live in integrity, we choose to tell the truth no matter how much trouble it gets us in. God becomes our shield. That word shield means to be a bodyguard. He protects us. He surrounds us. He helps us through this moment. When we're honest, God uses it to direct our steps. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 5. The godly are directed by what? Their honesty. Oftentimes we wonder, what is the will of God? What does God want us to do? How do I know what the will of God is? Here is the truth. All the while, God is talking to us. And he says, he that has an ear, listen. I'm speaking to you. One of the ways in which we hear what God has to say is to be willing to do what God has told us to do. And as we do it, the will of God simply comes out so clear in front of us. We don't have to search it out. We don't have to hunt it down. It just meets us as we walk in honesty. There's a story. I don't know if you read the story. It wasn't that long ago in the paper. Josh Farren, who lives in Bountiful, Utah. What a great name of a town, right? Bountiful. He lives in Bountiful, Utah. He bought a house. There was a man that lived in the house. The man died. It was an older man, and he died, and his kids sold the house, and Josh Farren bought the house. Well, they moved everything out. He moved all the stuff in. He, you know, you start getting acquainted with a new house and that sort of thing. He went up to the attic. And as he was just kind of walking around the attic, he came upon a box that had been hidden over in the side. He pulled out the box, opened it up. In the box was $40,000. $40,000. What was obvious that happened is that this old guy, instead of putting his money in the bank or sticking it in the mattress, thought to himself, well, nobody's going to look up in the attic. So he had a box, and he put money in that box on a regular basis, and it totaled $40,000. Josh Farren told the reporter that came and talked to him later on, he said, I decided I'm going to keep the money. I mean, I bought the house, I bought everything in the house, so the $40,000 is mine. But he said, the truth is, that's not the way I was raised. That's not the way I'm supposed to live. And he said that God would not let him do that. And as time went by, he finally said, you know what, God, I know what really happened here. Here is this old guy, and every so often he'd go up and he'd save money. He'd put it in this box, save money, put it in this box. It was obvious he was saving that for his kids. He wasn't saving that for me. The guy didn't bother to tell his kids about it, but it was in the box in the attic. And so he made the decision, God, I'm going to obey you. He searched out where these kids are. He went and presented the $40,000 to them. It made the paper. He got interviewed. He got to share his testimony. Now, I don't know the end of the story. I don't know what blessings came to him, but what I do know is this, that God chases him down and pours out his favor on him, because that is exactly what the scripture says. I don't know in what shape, in what form, but he did the right thing. And how did he know what the right thing was? Because the Bible taught him about what it means to be honest. He went through the door of honesty, and it showed him what steps he is to take. This is what he's saying. God opens the door to the next step. He shines the light on the pathway that we're to go by obeying what he tells us to do through honesty. We are honest, God uses it to sustain us. Proverbs 12, verse 19, truth stands the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. God uses our honesty to sustain us in the long term instead of us getting benefit through lying in the short term. Let me give you another story. It's another found money story. There is was a young couple, this was also in the news in Chicago, a young couple who had just gotten married. When they got married, they had all these gifts that came, and so they had loaded up all the gifts after the wedding and took them to what was going to be their house as they moved in after their marriage with each other, and they took the stuff there. But some of the gifts they got was money, and they were in envelopes. They collected all the envelopes, opened them all up. They totaled $12,000 in gifts by cash, $12,000. They bundled up the $12,000, put it in a bag, set the bag on top of their car while they were packing the rest of the car, and they took off, forgetting the bag, and the bag fell onto the street. They didn't know. They didn't find out until a guy showed up. They had left. The bag was sitting there. Here comes a guy, and he sees the bag, opens it up, $12,000. This guy in Chicago was unemployed. He desperately needed money. But in that bag was not just the $12,000, but also the name of the couple and their address. And he realized this was a $12,000 total gift to them for their wedding. This guy is a Christian, and this guy said to the reporter that came to see him, you know what, it's just the right thing. When he hunted this couple up after their honeymoon, he gave them the $12,000, they called the news. They came out and did the interview, and the whole interview was about this topic, not the losing of the $12,000, but how does an unemployed man in such desperate need of money be so honest that he gives $12,000 back? Did you know that within the next week he had gotten so many job offers? He got an incredible job. He made a whole lot more than $12,000 because God's blessing chased him down. God's blessing protected him in his honesty. God's blessing preserved him for the long haul because he did the right thing. He was honest. God says that if we'll be willing to do what he tells us to do, he will give us far more than we will ever give up by being honest. And so he calls us to honesty. But what happens when we don't? What happens in those times that we mess up? What do we do next? How can we get the freedom back by building a habit of truth-telling instead of the habit of lying? Well, let me just very quickly give you 5 key steps that I want to challenge you to take very seriously this afternoon and later today. 5 key steps to grab hold of. First, get honest with God and yourself about the lying. Get honest. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, he who conceals his sins doesn't prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Go to God. Get honest with him. God already knows the truth. God, I acknowledge the truth about my lying, and you already know it's true. You know exactly what I did, what I said, and how I lied. The truth is, this may be more challenging than we think because the person that we tend to lie to the most is ourselves. We're going to have to get honest with ourselves. We're going to have to strip away all of the excuses that we've made for doing what we knew was wrong and get honest with ourselves. And as we're getting honest with ourselves, 2 questions that we ought to answer. Number one, who are the individuals that I've lied to? Who have I wounded with my lies? I guarantee you that when you put together that list, members of your family are going to be top on the list. Number 2, what were the ways in which I lied? You got to know what those are in order to avoid them the next time. How is it that I lied? Did you lie through slander and gossip? Did you slander somebody else? Slandering can be telling a lie about someone, but slander can also be telling the truth about another person with the motive of trying to disgrace their reputation in the eyes of the person that you tell it to. Are you a slanderer? Are you a gossip? Is that the way that you have demonstrated the dishonesty? How about exaggeration, where you build yourself up further than you really are and you bring someone else down further than they belong? You exaggerate, and that exaggeration's purpose is to tear someone down, build yourself up, and you're lying while you do it. Is that how you've lied? How about through silence? You know the truth. People are talking about it, and instead of setting it right, you choose to be silent. How about cheating? How about flattery? How is it that you're lying? Get honest with yourself. Spend some time working through the truth about your life. Who have I wounded? How have I lied? The second thing that I want to encourage you to do is simply this. Recognize the damage that has been done and will be done because of the lie. First, I've gotten honest with myself about what I've done. Second of all, I recognize the damage that I've already caused and that I will cause in the life of someone else. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3 puts it this way, people who can't be trusted are destroyed by their own dishonesty. The Bible says that a day is coming in which we're going to have to face what we've done. And as a result, we will experience the destruction, the damage in our own life as well. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 puts it this way. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. For whatsoever a person sows, that person will now reap. God says we might get away with it for a while, but the day of reckoning is coming. We spend some time getting honest with ourselves about the truth of our life. We also spend some time getting honest about the damage that we've created to others and the damage to our own self as well. What is the damage I brought to myself? What is the damage that I'm giving to others? What is the damage that I'm even bringing to the kingdom of God? The third step is to admit to those that you've lied to what you've done and ask for their forgiveness before you get caught. Before you've got to, okay, well, everybody knows now, so yeah, I'll ask forgiveness. But you go to the individuals that you've lied to, that you've damaged with that lie, and you ask for forgiveness. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's three key words that fit together in the verse: confess, pray, and be healed. Go to an individual, the individuals that you've damaged, and go and tell them what you've done and ask for forgiveness. The fourth step is this: start building a habit of honesty in your life. Do you know what the truth is? If you'll start telling the truth more often, you'll get better at it. Telling the truth takes practice. So the more we do it, the better we get. When we face some stressful situation in which we know if I say the truth, I'm going to get a negative response, do it anyway. Do it anyway. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. And the more you tell the truth, the better you get at it, and the less the damage feels when it comes, because you've learned how to tell the truth as a habit. Tell the truth consistently. Being honest 80% of the time is not a truth teller, because now we don't know whether are you in the 20% zone or the 80% zone with this situation. You got to tell the truth 100%. Tell the truth lovingly, especially when this truth you know is going to wound somebody else. By telling them this truth, tell it to them lovingly. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, speak the truth in a spirit of love. Don't use the truth as a club. Don't use the truth as a stick. Speak the word of truth with compassion and care. The first time I remember really thinking and meditating on this verse years ago in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, something struck me. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. When someone comes and confronts us with something and they're an enemy, we take it as an attack. But when someone confronts us that we know loves us, and they come with compassion and softness, we will receive that confrontation because it comes at the hand of a friend. If in telling the truth you must confront, confront with softness and kindness and compassion. Here is the last thing: stay close to God. And here's what I mean. If you and I are going to build a habit of truth telling, one of the ways in which we can build this habit is that every day we spend time in the Bible. It's called a quiet time, in which we're reading some verses in the Bible and we're asking God, God, what are you saying to me through these verses? God will always speak to you if you will go into a passage saying, God, what are you saying to me in this? What is there? What promise is there that I need? What command are you giving to me? What insight are you giving to me about my life? Every time we do that in any verse that we go in Scripture, God will speak to our heart. When we spend time reading the Bible, God, what are you saying to me? When we spend time in prayer, God, I want to come to you and ask for forgiveness of things in my life. Thank you for things that you've done in my life. When we spend time with God in prayer, what happens in the process of that is that God becomes our accountability partner. God begins to bring to the surface those times in which we are violating truth. When we stay close to God, we will begin developing the habit of truth because we can do no other. What is it that I want you to take away this morning? What is it that I want you to do with what we've talked about today? If you'll go to the back of that worship card and you'll look at the second point, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take some time today. Maybe it's this afternoon. Maybe it's tonight. Maybe it's tomorrow morning in a quiet time or whenever you do it. Pull out these student notes that we're working through. You're filling in the blanks and spend some time with God and start in the first step and say, God, I want to be honest with you about some things in my life. I want to be honest with me. I want to be honest with you. I give you the invitation to begin to bring to the surface the lies that I have told in my gossiping, in my slandering, in my exaggeration, in my silence. I give you permission in my life to start bringing these to the surface in my heart. I want to be honest with you about my life. And then begin going through those steps. Take some time this afternoon. Give God the opportunity to begin to go to work in your life and begin to remake your life from the inside out about the issue of lying. And if you are a parent, oh, run to do it. Because how you live, your children will mimic. Get it right with God. Let's pray. God, we come to you today and we take this value that a family has to have. Without this value, there is no solid foundation of relationship. And God, we ask that you would begin to work in our heart, because though there are many times we tell the truth, there are some times that we stretch it. There are some times we ignore it. And God, I pray that you begin to work in our heart, that we would go to you and get honest with you, and your Holy Spirit would begin to change us from the inside out. Begin to bring to the surface those things that are wrong in our life. And begin to clean us out from the inside. God, raise the level of truth talking in our life so that you can begin to change us from the inside out, so that you can develop our reputation and that our character matches it, so that you can begin to improve the confidence of those in our family and the security of those in our family with truth. God, I pray that you would be at work in our heart and that we would yield to you. I pray, Father, for those in this room that have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the first step. Giving their heart and life to Jesus Christ to allow him to become the power in them to begin to change them from the inside out. And God, I pray for those in this room who have never committed their heart by faith to Christ, that this would be the day of their salvation, that they would come and give their heart to Jesus Christ this morning. And I pray, Father, for those in this room that are not members of this church, they're visiting Sugar Creek today, and there's a sense in their heart, this is my church. I feel so much at home. This place just feels like home. So many times, that's the way you tell us, this is where I want you to be. And God, I pray you'd move in hearts today of those that need to come and make that decision. I want to join this church and become a part of this fellowship. But oh, Father, I pray for the vast majority of us that are here this morning that know you as Savior and maybe you're already members of this church. Go to work in our heart that we would be truth tellers in every aspect of our life. Raise the level of character in us, we pray. In Jesus' name.